This is the heart of London's financial district. Protesters, angered at being fenced in by police, refused permission to leave, began hurling bottles and sticks at police lines. There was a clear police tactic to close in a hardcore group of protesters.
There's a growing sense of frustration amongst these protesters who at the moment are not being allowed out by the police. Now, this is a police line just here. As you can see, people are now starting to throw things at them and they're pushing back against the crowds. There's a barricade there, so we can't get through. We're being pushed through by the police! Easy!
Earlier in the day, the Royal Bank of Scotland had been the target. Protesters smashing through windows. The bank has become a symbol here of everything that was perceived to be rotten with the banking sector. This was only a small portion of those present, but they were determined. The politicians are eager for the G20 to be remembered for big decisions, not mass violence. These pictures will ensure, at the very least, those who oppose the political and financial establishment will have their opinions heard.
Well, they're anti-NATO protesters, and they set that hotel and a border post on the River Rhine on fire this morning, and riot police had to fire volleys of tear gas and shock grenades to contain the violence.
Say, they used everything, tear gas, flashballs, even a water cannon occasionally. It's been a kind of a cat and mouse game all afternoon long.
People are talking about being anti-globalization, being against NATO, being against nuclear weapons, being for ecology and a more environmental approach. Just about every cause you can think of are gathered together and also some anarchists. And I think probably the damage that we saw was set by was done by some of the anarchists in the crowd. They notably could be picked out because they wore black and wore black masks.
Yo, check this out, man.
That was Last Week in Radical Efforts, and you are now listening to This Week in Radical History for the week starting April 6th.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
On this day, April 6th in 1712, a small group of African slaves in the city of New York staged a general revolt against their captors by burning a number of houses. The slaves were armed, and in the ensuing melee, 9 white people were killed. A state militia quickly convened to suppress the rebellion. The instigators, who were not killed in direct confrontations with the militia, were arrested and later publicly hanged, along with a number of additional suspects. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Also on April 6th, 1878 in Germany, Erich Mischam lives, poet, anarchist, militant. During the Weimar Republic, he's known for his bitter satire, and as Hitler and the Nazi Party began to rise, he is an early opponent of them. After Hitler assumed power in 1933, they arrested Erich and tortured him for 15 months, including this report. Quote, "After breaking his teeth with musket blows, stamping a swastika on his scalp with a red-hot brand, subjecting him to torture which caused him to be taken into the hospital. Even now the fascist hyenas of the Sonnenberg concentration camp continue their beastly attacks upon the defenseless man. The last news is really atrocious. The Nazis forced our comrade to dig his own grave, and with the simulated execution made him go through the agony of a doomed man. Although his body has been reduced to a mass of bleeding and trembling flesh, his spirit is still very high. And when they tried to force him to sing the Nazi anthem, he defied their anger by singing the Internationale." Erich Mischam would be beaten to death in 1934. Also on April 6, 1952 in South Africa, one of the first mass meetings of non-whites to protest against apartheid, the same laws and government the U.S. backed for years to come. Also on this date in 1968, in the wake of the riots following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., Oakland cops raid Black Panther Party headquarters. Police in Oakland, California open fire on a car of Black Panthers who are returning from a meeting. The Panthers escape their vehicle and run into the house. Police throw tear gas and riddle the house with machine gun bullets. After police set the building on fire, the Panthers try to surrender. 17-year-old Bobby Hutton comes out of the house with his hands in the air, but a police officer shouts, "He's got a gun." This prompts a barrage of police gunfire that leaves Hutton dead. The police would later admit that Hutton was not carrying a gun, but no one was prosecuted for this execution. This week in radical history for April 7th. In 1803, French socialist and one of the first modern feminists, Flora Tristan, lives. Also on that date, in 1872, Dr. Marie Ikuei lives, lesbian anarchist and labor organizer. Found guilty of sedition during World War I under newly amended Espionage Act for handing out a banner that read, "Prepare to Die, Workmen, J.P. Morgan and Company, Want Preparedness for Profit," which would start a small riot. She'd be sentenced to 3 years in jail. Also on April 7, 1927, Setko and Fassetti are convicted in an armed robbery case where two guards are killed. On this date, a denial of what to become known as the Medeiros Appeal, a signed affidavit from a man claiming he did all of it, and that Setko and Fassetti had nothing to do with it, was denied as good enough reason for retrial, nor a stay of execution. Riots would break out in major towns in the U.S. and all over the world after the executions.
Beginning with the First World War, an alliance of the Departments of Justice, Labor, and Immigration initiated a campaign of repression. Agents broke into the homes of suspected radicals, arrested them, and seized their possessions. Many were deported. Most of the victims were foreigners, usually Russians, Italians, and Jews.
Two men stand out as targets of the anti-radical campaign. They were Italian-born, residents of Boston for many years, respectable workers and dedicated anarchists. They were attempting to dispose of some anarchist leaflets when they were arrested on a charge of armed robbery and murder. Their names were Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti.
Oh, Sacco Vanzetti, oh, Sacco Vanzetti, Sacco, Sacco Vanzetti, I just want to sing your name.
The state's evidence was flimsy, and the witnesses for the prosecution gave confused and contradictory testimony. Sacco and Vanzetti proclaimed their innocence, but they were convicted and sentenced to death. Appeal after appeal was denied. The case became an international cause. Marches and defense efforts were organized worldwide.
But on August 23, 1927, the state of Massachusetts, which had condemned Sacco and Vanzetti as violent and dangerous men, mobilized 500 heavily armed policemen to suppress protests and electrocuted the two Boston anarchists.
Last on this date in 1970, future acting President Ron Reagan and then Governor of California announces his attitude towards student rights activities, dissenters, and the Vietnam War protest by calling out state police and saying, "Well, if it takes a bloodbath, let's get it over with."
Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
On April 8th, 1885 in Panama, yes, we also have no ripe bananas, as U.S. troops invade to protect American banana interests. Also on April 8th, 1952, President Truman orders U.S. Army to seize the nation's steel mills to avert a strike and to break the unions. This act would be ruled illegal by the Supreme Court on June 2nd, a little too late. This week in radical history for April 9th. In 1908, President Teddy Roosevelt investigates legality of not only barring anarchist propaganda that advocates political violence, but also prosecuting those who produce materials. He says, quote, "When compared with the suppression of anarchy, every other question sinks into insignificance. The anarchist is the enemy of humanity, the enemy of all mankind, and his is a deeper degree of criminality than any other. No immigrant is allowed to come into our shores if he is an anarchist, and no paper published here or abroad should be permitted circulated in this country if it propagates anarchist opinions." Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. Yeah, yeah.
Ms. Pascal, what you're describing is anarchy. Are you an anarchist?
You mean, am I a member?
An anarchist group, yes.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
They assemble?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that completely defeat the purpose?
Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today, yeah.
And on April 9, 1918, in Moscow, there is no love for anarchists there either, as an anarchist black guard confiscates a car of the American ambassador. The car is seized in an effort to effect the release of political prisoners and trade union militants imprisoned in America. This action serves as a pretext for the Bolshevik secret police, the Cheka, to mount a sweeping attack on the anarchists and therefore enforce authoritarian control of the revolution. More authoritarian love of anarchists, like on this date in 1927 when the Massachusetts judge gives a death sentence to, quote, "those anarchist bastards," unquote, Setko and Fassetti, which we discussed it earlier. Can you feel the love?
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 9th in 1947, the Journey of Reconciliation began, which later became the model for the famous Freedom Rides. The Journey of Reconciliation consisted of 16 men, 8 black and 8 white, who traveled in an integrated fashion by bus and train from Washington, D.C. to Louisville, Kentucky. This journey was an organized stand against the violent and racist segregationist policies of the South. It was also boldly testing a recent Supreme Court decision banning racial segregation in interstate travel. During the rides, 12 of the men were arrested, and although the NAACP had promised to represent them, they unexpectedly backed out. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
This week in radical history for April 10th, 1729 in New World. Advertisement in the American Weekly Mercury offers Indian women and children for sale.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 10th in 1919, revolutionary leader Emiliano Zapata was ambushed and killed after the Mexican government placed a bounty on his head. Zapata was a leader in the Mexican Revolution and general of the Liberation Army of the South. The majority of his followers were indigenous peasants, and he fought tirelessly for the redistribution of agricultural land and communal land rights for Mexico's indigenous population. Zapata drafted the Plan de Ayala, which proclaimed the Zapatista demands for land, liberty, and justice. The revolutionary Zapatista Army of National Liberation in Chiapas, Mexico, was named in Zapata's honor. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Say it, say it, say it. Pero Zapatista!
Two more items for April 10th, 1981. UN approves World Treaty assuring no civilian shall be attacked with napalm, mines, or booby traps. The U.S., of course, will veto this resolution. Last end of state in 1984. Senate condemns CIA mining of Nicaraguan harbors, the same harbors that acting President Ronald Reagan said a year ago was not being mined. This week in radical history for April 11th. 1617. Pocahontas, daughter of Native American King Powhatan, dies on a ship returning from England to Virginia. She leaves an infant son. School children are fed a romantic tale of Pocahontas' encounters with Captain John Smith. But the truth of the English settlers in Jamestown held her captive to force concessions from her father. The colonist John Rolfe married the captive Pocahontas, changed her name to Rebecca Walfe, dressed her in English fineries, and took her to England for Queen Elizabeth's amusement.
Was right.
Screw Disney.
It was pointing to him.
Sunrise! It's not too late, Chang. Let the spirits of the earth guide you. You know your path, Chang. Now follow it.
Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
To try.
Now we make them pay.
Eagle, help my feet to fly.
Without a warning.
Mountain, help my heart be great.
Now we need the blood and bone.
Spirits of the earth and sky. Please don't let it be too late.
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We have no bananas.
There's not a trace.
We have no bananas.
Today.
The drums of war. kill me too.
We have no bananas.
Stand back.
I won't. I love him, Father.
Okay, enough of that. Two items for April 11th. In 1931, George Bernard Shaw addresses a New York audience and says, quote, "The ordinary man is an anarchist. He wants to do what he likes. He may want his neighbor to be governed, but he himself doesn't want to be governed. He is mortally afraid of government officials and policemen." Unquote. Lastly, 1983, the bear market. Richard Whitney, 5-term president of the New York Stock Exchange, is sentenced to 5 to 10 years in prison for grand larceny. 81 years later, in 2009, the Stock Exchange crooks are now in the Obama administration. This week in radical history for April 12th. 1782. During the Revolutionary War, a U.S. militia troop attacks Christian Indians of the Delaware Nation. The Indians declare themselves neutral in the war against Britain. During the attack, the Indians stand their ground but take no defense. Assured no harm would befall them, the Indians allow themselves to be rounded up. The soldiers knew the Indians were peaceful and Christian, but this does not stop them from killing more than 100 men and women. An eyewitness described the Indians, quote, "They prayed and sang until the tomahawk struck their heads. The bodies were burned together with a house." The Pennsylvania Assembly would investigate and condemn the massacre, but it would take no actions against the soldiers or their commanders. Only three more items for April 12th. In 1913 in France, Jean Cocoon and several thousand homeless invade the city hall in Paris. Cocoon, a tapestry maker, anarchist, and very popular secretary of the Federation of Tenants, declare on Monsieur Vulture, a.k.a. the landlords, and he helps the evicted move as well as take over unoccupied buildings. Also on this date, the Shanghai Commune of 1927 was created as a grassroots movement by the workers of Shanghai. It was started after a massive rebellion overthrowing the local warlord. However, this movement was crushed on this date when the communists entered the city and launched purges. Lastly, in 1935, 150,000 college students across the country stage a first nationwide student strike against the war. Their protest is against participation in any war. During its peak years, from the spring of 1936 to spring of 1939, the movement mobilized at least 500,000 college kids, about half the American college student population, in an annual one-hour strike against wars.
And just as the soldiers in Vietnam have their orders to destroy the Vietnamese people, the police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive the due process of law for the simple reason that the police themselves deny us the due process of law. And so it's very apparent that the police only in our community are not for our security, but the security of the business owners in the community, and also to see that the status quo is kept intact.
Are y'all gonna murder me and not even say I'm sorry? Y'all murder niggas like it was a thing to do, and y'all can't even apologize. Y'all apologize if you went up with somebody's cat. Y'all apologize if you can't pay a rent on time. Apologize if you have to raise taxes. But when you just start flat on murdering niggas in their sleep, y'all can't even say I'm sorry.
Y'all
Thanks for tuning in to This Week in Radical History, produced from the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Thanks once again to the Radio Roots crew from WBAI in New York and the Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio, whose audios I've once again palmed for my show. You've been listening to We Will Be Free by Holy 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 on tour right now and throughout the summer. Watch for the gigs coming up in New York Anarchist Book Fair next weekend, or check out their MySpace music page under Holy Holy Holy. Speaking about checking out, I hope you check out next week's show, and until then, and always and forever, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
An
anarchist group, yes.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
They assemble?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that completely defeat the purpose?